do a quick Bible study. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And last week we talked about spiritual fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, and how that comes from the Holy Spirit in us. And, you know, the spiritual fruit and spiritual gifts are two different things. So tonight I want to talk to you about spiritual gifts. And if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Father, bless the reading of your word. Help us tonight to learn, to grow, to change, to be better as we leave than we were when we came in. And Lord, I don't know everybody's heart. I just know mine. If there's one among us that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, maybe tonight you would draw them and they would receive the Holy Spirit so they could live in the Spirit. But help us to understand, and we'll thank for whatever is done in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week I talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And that what that is, that's Him in you working out. That's the Holy Spirit in you working, manifesting Himself, showing Himself through the good things that He has. Now, there's been a lot of confusion over spiritual gifts. We have the charismatic movements, you know, and all these non-denominational and interdenominational things, you know. And if you turn on TV, you'll get 25 different opinions on things in the Bible, you know. And most of the time, it's just for the big offerings that they might receive or whatever. But spiritual gifts next to salvation are the most misunderstood thing in the Bible. Now, salvation is misunderstood because some think that you have to work to get it. You got to join the church. You got to be baptized. You got to quit this. You got to start that. But we know that Paul said it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. And so we know it's not of works, but that's the main confusion. There's two beliefs in salvation. Some believe it's by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for you're saved by grace. That word means undeserved love. For you're saved by grace through faith. That's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we can't do anything to be saved. You can't do anything to stay saved. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Romans 10:19 says, if thou shalt believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus and confess with thy mouth that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's what makes you right with God. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, because the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now, so salvation, some people say, well, you got to join this, you got to join that, you got to get baptized this way, you got to get baptized that way. And it just gets ridiculous, all the things they add to salvation. Jesus said, except you come become His little child, you'll in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, a child doesn't argue over how to be saved. He jumps off the bed and he expects you to catch him. Some of y'all remember doing that, don't you? My daughters used to scare me to death. I'd be walking through the living room, one of them say, Daddy, catch! I'd turn around, they'd be in the air. And I'd have to catch them. They'd be jumping off the back of the couch. Now I got grandsons that do it. and they'll be somewhere and they'll say, Papa, I'll catch, and I'll turn around there and I am. And see, that's faith. They believe Papa's going to do it. They believe Daddy's going to do it because they know He loves them. And that's salvation the same way. I went to the Lord one day. I said, I know I ought to go to hell, and I know I deserve to go to hell, but Lord, catch. And I dove into His arms, and I asked Him to save me. And I've been saved ever since. And I leave that up to Him. See, now that's salvation. But there's a lot of confusion over that. I got baptized because you're be supposed to. Believe me, baptized. I joined the church because you're supposed to. Forsake not the assembling ourselves together. I try to live right because you're supposed to. That's righteous living. But I'm saved because I jumped into His arms one day by faith. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding. And not only that, but there's a lot of things that are abused. And there's a lot that is just ignored by many people about the spiritual gifts that God gives believers, okay? Now, the first gift, of course, is salvation. He gave you that. You didn't deserve it. It was a gift of God, Ephesians 2 and 8. But there are other gifts. And a lot of people will abuse those in order or manipulate them in order to make money, profit. That's it. Love of money is the root of all evil. And God gives those spiritual gifts in the church. If you go on and read chapter 12, you'll see God gives those spiritual gifts in the church to equip the church to edify, build up, disciple believers. He doesn't put those in there to convict people of their sins. He gives us these spiritual gifts so that we can be used for the glory of God and help others come to know God in all His glory. Now, we're going to have to serve Him in order for us to be happy anyway. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved into you. But as many as received Him. Now, Jesus didn't walk in that day, sitting on the right hand of the Father. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God the Father, they're all one in mind and spirit and heart. And He moved in that day. And when He did, His Spirit is with your spirit, and now your spirit wants to please God. You want to please God. You don't have to have the preacher to fuss at you. You want to do it. Amen? After I realized who my mama was and what she'd been through, and I was past a teenager by then. You know, teenagers don't care. But after I got married and started having children and realized how great my mama was and how beneficial she was to my life, I wanted to please my mama. Now, when I was younger, I wanted to please my mama. I wouldn't always tell her, and I wouldn't always tell you that. I drew some lines when I was a young man in my life that I wouldn't cross because I knew if I crossed them and my mama found out, it would kill her. It'd shame her to death. And a lot of things I did, my mama never found out that I did until after I got saved, because it would have killed my mama to know those things. And why? Because I loved her. I wasn't scared of her. She wasn't that tall. She never weighed over 90-something pounds. Why would I be afraid of her? You know, I loved her. That was the difference. Now I love Jesus. I want to please Him. Now He's given me spiritual gifts so I can please Him. Okay? It's not to be a super Christian. There's no such thing. You ladies look cold. It's not to be a super Christian. There's no such thing. A lot of these people run around here saying, I got this gift and I got that gift. And what they're saying is, I'm God's gift to you. That's what they're saying. But they're not. There's no such thing as a super Christian. We've all fallen and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior. So God gives us gifts in order to serve Him and to serve others. Now, every Christian receives at least one spiritual gift. Now, I'm not going to read that whole chapter. You go back and read that chapter. But at least one spiritual gift. Everyone's not the same, though, as a lot of this modern teaching goes. We even had a testimony after Sunday school this past Sunday about we're all the same and we all no. That's that fairness and justice stuff. Fairness. Let me tell you something. This new preaching about fairness and justice. You don't want God to give you justice. No. Because it only takes one sin to be sent to hell. Only one sin to keep you out of heaven. I don't want what I deserve. I don't want justice. Amen? There's no way. I'm not declaring. God declares me just as if I'd never sinned. God did that because of the blood of Jesus. I don't want Him to give me justice. And by the way, God's not always fair according to our standards. No, He's not. Not according to our standards. The people that we would think was supposed to be saved don't always get saved. And the people that we think ought to be such great leaders and all this stuff don't always get to be great leaders and things like that. But see, that's God's wisdom and God's sovereignty, and God controls the affairs of men, whether you believe it or not. And in the end, we'll see what was best, not what was fair. By the way, that's a punky thing to say. That ain't fair. That's what you used to say to your mama whenever she gave your brother something. You didn't get it. That ain't fair. Well, God ain't always fair, because, see, your fairness and His is two different things. All you see is the right now. He's done seen what you're going through millions of times in other people just like you. And He knows how it's going to turn out, and He knows how to make it right. Amen? But not everyone has the same gift. Not everyone has the same parts in the church, in the body of Christ. a lot of these people demand things. Well, and boy, there's all kind of new things going around now. You know, everybody is supposed to be equal. Now, wait a minute. Whoa! Stop right there. There's a lot of things men can do that women can't do, and a lot of things women can do that men can't do. I can take a chair over up against that wall, Brother Jeffrey, and you put your head on that wall, and you can pick up that chair, and you can't stand up. Little old chair, big as you are. And your wife can go do that same chair and stand straight up. You know why? She's built different than you are. She's a woman. And women and men are different, like it or not. Amen? God made it that way. Amen. Come on, help me. Yeah. I better not say, there's so many things I can say. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. But you turn little boys loose in the yard, you know what they're going to do? My grandboys do it. Well, they'll pick up sticks and start shooting each other. Pow, 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 pow. you let a little girl loose in the yard and she'll find the flowers. Don't want boys to, he'll eat them. Ain't got no sense. Boys and girls are different. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, if you look at the whole picture, you'd see difference is not always bad. It's good. And I tell people all the time, women will talk about their husband being sick. And sometimes I get sick and I'll crawl up in the bed with the flu or something. I'm laying there crying like a little old baby. And my wife walks through and I want her to feel sorry for me. And I'm going, don't you feel sorry? Can't you do something for me? She said, I said, you don't know how bad it hurts. She said, shut up. You ain't never had a baby. That hurts. Amen. Amen. Everyone's not the same, especially in the church. All the believers receive the same Holy Spirit. All believers have the same common salvation. And all believers become a part of the body of Jesus Christ, which you've become part of. And all believers have a place in that body. Now, if you go read 1 Corinthians, it says, if the eye says it's not part of the foot, and the foot says it's not part of the eye, then the body ain't going to work right. And like it or not, that little thing right there is some good. I don't know what that's good for, but I know it's not good for men to get earrings. But that little hanging down thing right there, it's good for something. And by the way, have you ever run your little toe into something at night? I lay down and cried like a little baby the other night. I run my little toe in that pen. I thought I was going to die. Don't tell me you don't need a little toe. It's the same way in the body of Christ. Everybody has a part. Now, you look at that little old toe, you say, that thing's useless. Cut it off. It ain't no good. Cut it off. And some people look at people in church, they'll say, well, what good are they? Well, everybody's got a part. Everybody's important. Amen? And so all believers got the same Holy Spirit, but He chooses what your part is. He chooses what part of the body of Christ you ought to be. He does that. Now, you can volunteer, and He may accept you, or He may not. I I didn't even know what a preacher was when I got saved. I'd never known but one. That's the one that led me to Christ at 23 years old. I didn't know what a pastor's job was. I didn't know what a preacher was. I never would have wanted to be a preacher. I never volunteered for that. I didn't want all those responsibilities and having to study and memorize and all those things. And I'd be witnessing to people. They'd say, and young, you know, 24, 25 years old, trying to win people to Christ, trying to be a good Christian. People say, are you some kind of preacher? I'd say, no, I'm not a preacher. No, don't want that. But I didn't know what a preacher was. I didn't. And Lord dealt with me with that for a year, and I struggled with it. Finally, I said, well, Lord, that's what you want, not my will, but thy will. I'll do whatever I got to do. And I didn't know what to do. And after I surrendered to preach, I went to my pastor and said, what do I do now? He said, somebody's going to tell, this old preacher's going to tell me what to do. Go talk to the associational director. I went down there and talked to him. And he said, well, you dropped out of high school in 10th grade. We're going to send you to night school so you can finish high school. Then if you still want to preach, we'll send you to one of our liberal arts colleges. You go there 4 years and get you a degree, a bachelor's degree in something, you know. And then if you still want to preach, come back to me. And we'll send you to one of our seminaries. And they'll call them cemeteries. And we'll send you to one of our seminaries. And if you still want to preach, come back and we'll see what we can do. And I said, that's 10 years. Everybody I know will be dead and in hell in 10 years. He didn't know the kind of people I grew up with. They all came under 3 L's, in jail, out on bail, already in hell. I didn't know any good people. And I knew those people needed somebody to tell them. And here he is. You know what I was doing? I was looking for a man to tell me my part in the body of Christ and my spiritual gifts. And he didn't think I had the spiritual gift. I could tell by the way he was talking to me. And I said, well, my pastor didn't do that, and Billy Sunday didn't do that, and D.L. Moody, I've been reading biographies, you see. Wasn't near as ignorant as he thought I was. And by the way, just because you have a southern accent doesn't mean you're ignorant. And I've been reading a lot, you know, spend a lot of time at the library. And I said, they didn't do that. He said, you're not them. And I said, how do you know who I am? You ain't never met me but one time. That's right now. You see, God chooses your place in the body of Christ. You don't do that. God does. Hey, God says, this is the spiritual gift I'm going to give you, Brother Mike. Now you go run with it, and I'm going to help you with it, and I'm going to lead you in it. And sometimes, if you'll be faithful at it, I'll give you another one to go with it. The spiritual graces are in Galatians chapter 5. I got to hurry, my time's already up. Now some of y'all are glad. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 22. In verse 22 he said, but the fruit of the Spirit, not the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, that's his. That's what he produces. Do you understand that? What the Holy Spirit produces, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, when I was growing up, when I thought of a Christian, and I didn't know any real Christians other than my mama, and when I thought of a Christian, I did not know these were in the Bible, but those are the things that I thought described a Christian. Didn't you? I mean, before you were saved, didn't you think that Christians are full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Against such there is no law. And God began to put those people in my path as I was going through life. And I met some. But I thought that was their works. But it wasn't. That was the Holy Spirit's works in them, showing through them. So, I'm not talking about that. You got to distinguish between spiritual gifts, spiritual offices, and spiritual graces. Now, we just talked about the graces. Those are God's doing now. That's not yours. Every believer is supposed to develop those. Love, joy, peace. You're supposed to work on that because He puts it in you, and you want to do it anyway because it's in you. But that's the spiritual graces. Those come from God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm not going to read them all because we're out of time, but these are gifts in particular. People get these gifts in particular. And they do it in order to serve the church and to serve others. And he goes on, and let's see, I'm trying to find one. Verse 28 in chapter 12, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, languages. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. In chapter 13, he talks about loving. That's the greatest gift is love. And if you go to the end of chapter 13, verse 13 says, and he talks about all those gifts, and he says, but now abideth, is still here, is lasting, faith, hope, and love. Now those are gifts. God gave them to you. I had no faith before that day I asked Him to save me. He put faith in me. I had no hope. I was without God. I had no hope in this world. I figured, what's the use? Let's eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we all die and we're going to wake up in hell anyway. So let's just eat, drink. Had no hope. And I certainly had no love because God is love. And if God doesn't live in you, you really don't know what love is. And I didn't know what love was until that day I received Christ. And all of a sudden I loved everybody. And it was not covetous love. I didn't want what they had. I didn't lust after them. I wanted to love them. I wanted everybody to go to heaven. I wanted everybody to be happy, you know. And so those gifts are given by God. But then there's some of those spiritual offices are different now. Spiritual offices, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. I'm getting faster because the clock is ticking. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. If y'all would listen faster. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Nowadays, you turn on TV and they're going to tell you, well, everybody's the same and everybody's got the same gifts. And it doesn't matter what you do because everybody has the ability to do that. That's not true. Not everybody can do these things. And there's spiritual offices. He's talking about the elders, and that word elder and pastor and bishop are all interchangeable, and they all have the same biblical requirements to hold the pastor's office. And so therefore, he's recognizing these people who serve in that particular office. Now that doesn't mean that they're better than the guy that cut the grass the other day. And by the way, that was the bishop, pastor, elder. They're not any better than that guy that cleaned the bathroom. And by the way, that was the bishop, elder. But what it means is there are different administrations, different offices within the church that God chooses. Who does that? We don't choose that. God does. And you don't choose that. There are positions in the church for the administration of the affairs of the church. Did you know a lot of people come to this church now, since we're not a very old church, we just moved here, they think we're brand new again. And they'll come in, and did you know people, a lot of people who don't know any better because they don't read the Bible, they think that a church is a free fall. Yeah. And everybody does that which is right in their own eyes. And if Brother Taylor decided tonight he wanted to be a preacher, he'd stand up and preach. And if this lady wanted to be a preacher, she'd stand up and preach. And if this one wanted to be a deacon, she'd jump up and deacon. Of course, most of them, they want a spotlight on them. They want to sing, don't they? They don't really want to preach, but they want to be in charge. Y'all know what I'm saying? And a lot of people think that church is a karaoke bar. that whoever wants to can just jump up and start singing, and they're going to show the words on the screen. They're going to play something on a CD, and everybody can do that because that's what the Lord says. That's not what the Lord says. He says do things decently and in order. There's offices. Now, those offices, whether spiritual oversight of the flock, that's elders, pastors, or spiritual oversight of temporal things, that's 1 Timothy chapter 3, that's deacons. Deacons don't run the church. Deacons serve the church. And those are temporal things. The deacons make sure you got song books. The deacons make sure you got heat. The deacons make sure you got air conditioning, what y'all like the best. And but those are temporal things. Only certain believers hold spiritual offices. Did you know that? You know why? There's qualifications. You know, most people don't know there's qualifications to be a pastor. They thought, well, that's a good old guy. Let's let him up there. You know, I've known people to stand in the pulpit and call themselves pastor, been married 4 times. Whoa, wait a minute. How can you be the husband of one wife? But anyway, a woman told me recently that she ought to be pastor. And I said, you don't meet the qualifications. She says, I do. I says, are you the husband of one wife? If you are, that disqualifies you right there. Amen. There are qualifications for spiritual offices which separate these people, not because they're better, but because it's a particular word. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not any better than anybody in this place. I've never met a preacher. And by the way, I know preachers, we're all frail, every one of us. But God separates them. He said, separate me, Barnabas. He separates people to do different works in the church. Now, some of these people that come here are wonderful teachers. Some are wonderful witnesses. Some are wonderful musicians. Some are wonderful singers. Some are wonderful helps ministry and things like that. Rudy's probably the best deacon I've ever had. And poor Tommy, I wish the Lord would let him come back from heaven. I need him. But God separates you to do those things. I think this young lady right here was talking about having a Bible study over at the nursing home. Did you do that? Did you do that? Well, you're going to do it, right? All right? God laid that on your heart. You go over there and you tell that lady, I'm here to have a Bible study. And you go in there and sit at one of them tables. When them people come in, you greet them and talk to them, have prayer requests and say, now we're here to study the Bible. And then if that's what God wants you to do, He'll separate you to do that. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Y'all still with me? Yeah. Amen. Amen. I got to hurry up, though. Y'all don't know how much I'm skipping. but they also have particular spiritual gifts. Now, did you know that a lot of men stand up to say they're pastor, preacher, evangelist, and they don't have the gift of that preaching? You've heard them. Takes you about 2 minutes. You know. They want to preach. It doesn't mean that they're not good people. It's just that they're telling God what they want to do,
right,
instead of God telling them what He wants them to do. And it's the same thing through the whole Bible. Now remember this: not everyone has the same gifts and callings. Not everybody has it. Did you know Sister Patty runs the nursery on Sunday, and there was 10 in there this Sunday? Patty, was you in there? Who was in there? You were in there? Did you enjoy that?
I did.
I'd rather be shot in the head. I don't have that gift. I don't have that gift. You got to have gifts. There's a lot of gifts and cons. So why don't we do this? Why don't we just be faithful with what we are and where we are in the body of Christ? And if He wants us to do something else, He'll let us know.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm not doing anything. Well, you're learning. You're growing. You're loving people. You're giving. You're being a part of the body. You might be a little toe right now, but it might move you over to the big toe.
Right.
And if you ain't pretty, we'll get her to give you a pedicure. She does pedicures. We'll get you fixed up. Amen. But the point is, little as much if God is in it. And if a man's faithful in little things, Jesus said, God will give him much.
Yes.
TV, internet, all these little snippet sermons and snippet Bible studies and three-liners and two-liners will not replace study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you go to church to learn. Somebody's got to preach. Somebody's got to teach. Everybody can't do it. And you go to church to be inspired. Somebody's got to sing. Somebody's got to lead it. And everybody can't do it. I proved that tonight, leading it myself. And you go to church and you want to be loved. And somebody, all they do is walk around and love on people. That little old lady comes in a wheelchair, sits right there in an empty spot right there every Sunday. And I think she's been going to this building since it was founded. It's been our church, but the church before, and they've gone through like 10 preachers. And she told me the other Sunday, she said, this is what we always wanted in this building, what's happening right now. And every Sunday she'll call me over and she'll say, come here, come here. And she'll pull me down there and she'll kiss me right there on that cheek. Now that's her part in this body, and you don't know how much that encourages me. So instead of arguing over trying to make everybody equal in everything and trying to make everything fair and just in our eyes, why don't we just take what we've got that we know personally and individually and use it for the glory of God? And if God wants to do more, He'll do more. The problem is, most Christians are like me and my little brother. Mom would do something with me and he'd say, I didn't get one of those. I used to do bus ministry. Did bus ministry for 18 years. All them wild, hollering youngins. And we'd give out candy. And I'd be giving out bubble gum. And it never would fail. Every Sunday, some kid say, I wanted a red one. I said, how much did that cost you? Nothing. I said, shut up and eat it. It was free. When I was a kid, I never would have. I'd have just eat it. Amen. It's candy. It was free. Amen. But that ain't fair. Well, life ain't fair. When you get a job, you're going to figure that out. Amen. 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 But if you're getting God's will, God is fair. And you'll see that your fair and His fair might be two different things, but you'll realize He is fair. Let's stand, Father.